Psalm, or no, Proverbs 23. I get caught up in my own jokes there. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful. We are so grateful for your great salvation. Lord, we are in awe every time we think about it. Father, I just thank you for your infinite mercy. Lord, I deserve death, but you grant me life. You pour out your grace and say you are clean. Lord, we want to be pleasing to you, so we look into your word for instruction. But Father, we can't do it in our flesh, and you don't expect us to. So pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. Help us to absorb the things that we're reading. Help us to hide them away in our hearts. Lord, let us walk in truth by your word, by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, tried to sneak out, huh? All right, so we are in Proverbs 23. And let's just dive right in. When thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man of appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Now, when we look at these things, you know, it's sometimes the Lord puts things before us. You know, when I had a job in California, my first job in design, I worked for this company. It was a multinational company, and they had more money than anybody than I could think of. They were Rank Industries. I'm sure you've heard of Pinewood Studio. There's a movie that they made called Star Wars. Are you guys familiar with it? Well, that was filmed at their studios, and I worked for them. It was a grand place. I was in the R&D department, and we had the Christmas party that they had was at the Marina Del Rey, which, needless to say, was quite the ritzy place. We just couldn't believe they put on the dog. I mean, it was just like, I remember Cindy, we had to go buy new clothes just to go there. it was great. But you know, as you look at the opulence and all of these things out there, you start to think, you know, man, I could get used to this. You know, you got this nice roast beef on there. There's you know, a buffet without end. You know, this has got people up there carving stuff out, and you don't even know what it is. And I don't know, but it tastes good, so I'm gonna have some more. But you know, it's like, you know, the Lord puts these things before us sometimes because, you know, we are tempted to, how should we say it, to live over and above what the Lord has provided for us. Now, that's not to say that we don't work to better ourselves or anything like that. But when you see something that's, you know that it's just not for you. You know, I look at folks, I've gone to people's houses and they have beautiful places. And I'm just thinking, I couldn't live this way. I mean, it's just not me. You know, I like to live simply. You know, we live, you know, within our means. And I look at those folks and I can look in their eyes and I can see, yeah, they have all this stuff, but for how long? Until the repo man comes and takes it away, because now they're out of work. And I know they're struggling because, you know, I don't make enough in a year what their house payments are in a month. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, when you desire to get there, you tend to start to over-engage yourself. You know, you start getting credit cards. You know, credit cards are the worst. We learn the hard way. You know, you start getting in the credit card debt, and that's an unsecured loan. That means that you've got nothing backing that up. With a house, they can repossess the house and the loan is good. Or a car. You know, these kind of things, these are high-ticket items. But when you're talking about credit cards, I mean, we were, man, over our heads in credit cards. We had to file bankruptcy. Very, very shameful thing back then. Nowadays, it seems like everybody's just do it every 7 years. Man, I can live up to this point, and then I'll file bankruptcy, and we'll be able to start over again. But... you know, to us, it was just like, after that point, we learned, you know what, we need to live within our means. You know, whatever the Lord supplies for us, this is how we're going to live. and no more. And not to desire more than what the Lord has given us, because we know it's a trap. You know, and that's what he's talking about here. Put a knife to your throat if you be given to a man with appetite. In other words, when you see those things and you start to desire to have those things all the time, well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to try to make it happen by any means necessary. Well, and you start to call the shots rather than the Lord's calling the shots. And that's very important, especially for the believer. Because we are not our own. We are His. You know, the whole aspect of deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me goes into the realm of everything. In all of our finances, in who we associate with, where we live, and what we're doing, what kind of job that we have. All of those things are supplied by the Lord. And we put ourselves in His hands. And as I mentioned on Sunday, it's just like, you know, like on the first of the year, you kind of like, okay, it's a new year, time for new beginnings. You know, maybe get a new job. I don't like the job that I have, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to get me a new job or whatever. But do we consult the Lord on that? Maybe the Lord wants me to stay at this place. And that's what He told me, basically. He says, hey, I've got you here. I'll move you when I'm ready. And so, okay, well, you know, then this is where I'm at. And I'm happy here. I'm going to be contented here because I know that this is where the Lord has me. Now, you know, I'm trusting in Him, and I think about Joseph. Joseph, you know, he tried to get out of the prison by his own means. Hey, man, he tried to network. You know, the wine steward. Hey, remember me. And then, like, he was going to get out of it right away. But no, it was like 2 years later when finally that Pharaoh lifted him out of there. But that being said, we need to blossom where we're planted and not be desirous of the wicked. When we see the people that have these things, how did they get those things? Well, they got them by ripping off other people. They got them by ripping off people that could least afford it or couldn't come back at them. You see on the news all the time, these guys, they think they're invulnerable. You know, they rip off people that have no resources. Like, they can't just hire lawyers to sue. You know, they're out, you know, $5,000-$6,000, and that's all of the money they have in the world. And these guys are just skating, and they just take the money, and they don't even think twice about it. You know, well, I got my Mercedes payment for the day and my Rolls payment, and, you know, I'll be able to put gas in my jet. Okay, so we're golden, you know, until I get the next sucker. And that's all they see people as, is a commodity to be able to get things. But we, as believers in Christ, we see people as future sinners saved by grace. We look at people and we care about people because the Lord cares about us, and He says to love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And that goes in the realm of sinners, because once they're saved, then they're not an enemy anymore. Then they're a friend. So if you're praying for those that are your enemies, you're praying that, Lord, touch them. Open up their hearts, open up their minds to the Word so that they will be saved. Because I know it's your desire that none should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. And so we're praying the will of God in that. And so we pray, you know, soften this person's heart. Yeah, he's denied you. You know, I've explained things to him, but he's denied you over and over again. But, man, continue to pray. Continue to be that witness. And since when you give yourself away, you see, it's locked in their mind. They know who you are, and they're expecting you to act a certain way. They're expecting you to act like a Christian, even though they don't know what that is, but they expect you to be different from what they are. Now, if you're the same as they are, then what's the difference? Your empty words, false witness. But if there's a difference, those words that you've spoken before, there's going to be over and over, the Holy Spirit's going to be able to use that to work on their hearts and to soften their hearts, if that be His will. But our thing to do is just to be that witness, no matter what happens. Yea, though none go with me, still I will follow, as the song goes. So, don't be desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. How often we look at people and they seem like, man, they've got the world by the tail, and it's just like every decision that they make is, man, it gets profit for them. And you just kind of, how do you do that? And then you start to do the same thing. You try to, let's see, if I invest in this and I invest in that and the other thing, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, if I were to do that, the stock market would just drop out. I'd lose all my money. And say, God would say, well, you see, I told you not to do that, you know, but you weren't listening. So, labor not to be rich here on this earth, but be rich in the things of the Lord. Be rich in the things of heaven. So. Wilt thou set thy eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And isn't that the truth? I mean, if, you know, it's got, anybody got bills? Nobody got bills? Am I the only one that has bills? Money comes in, money goes out. Sometimes there's just not enough money at the end of the month. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, well. And that's an indicator to me that I'm living too large. If I haven't got enough money to supply all of the bills that I have, then I need to cut back on something. You know, I need to get rid of that cell phone. I need to get rid of that cable. I need to get rid of these things that I have that I can't afford. So if I'm struggling, or if I'm trying to carry things over, more money over, or trying to carry some bills over to the next month, then we need to sit back and say, okay, I got to cut back. You know, I got to take the hit. I got to just cut back, and I got to live within the means that the Lord has given me. And this is what's going to please the Lord, because, hey, then we're not going to have any anxiety. Man, when you put the stamp on that last bill, and, man, I still got money in my pocket, and I still got a couple of weeks left until the end of the month, but all the bills are paid. I got food in the refrigerator. The lights are on. The gas is on. Hey, I'm golden. This is good, you know. And you sit back and, okay, I have peace. I have peace now. But, man, if you've got a stack of bills that's going to choke a horse and you ain't got enough money to pay for them, what's going to happen? Anxiety, ulcers, all of these things, you know, they're going to kill you. And who needs that? And the thing is that we've heaped them upon ourselves because we've looked at what everybody else has and we say, I got to have that too. I got to have the latest and greatest phone or a car or house or name it, you know. And that leads to anxiety. So, you know, why set your things on that which is not? You know, for certainly, you see riches in italics there, but you can put anything in there. For phones, certainly make themselves wings. For cars, certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You know, and what are they? They rust right out from under you, or you drop it and you break it, and it's like, oh, geez, you know, $600 just shot. Because, well, I should have got that insurance for another extra $100, but I couldn't afford it. Well, you know. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. So, you know, this is a call to monitor who you're having fellowship with. When you're talking about eating, you know, that's a sign of fellowship. You know, when we have communion, it's a sign that we're having fellowship with the Lord as well as with each other. We're partaking of the Lord's table. Well, here, you know, you've got to be careful. Who it is that you're having fellowship with? Who are you hanging out with? Guess what? You're going to become just like them. You know, and if not, then they're going to be eyeballing you. It's like I said in the beginning of the Proverbs. It says, hey, man, let's get together. Let's all have one purse, you know. Beware of those kind of folks. This guy has an evil eye, and you know who they are. You know that, man, I shouldn't be hanging with this person. He just leads me down the wrong path. If I hang out with this person, I'm going to end up, you know, ashamed of the things that I'm doing. You know, and you know, growing up, that was one of the things that really catalyzed me into going into the service was the people that was around me. They were all doing drugs. They were all, you know, into ripping people off, breaking into houses, into cars, and things like that. And I could see the future in myself. The Lord just kind of opened it up, says, if you don't do something, this is what's going to happen. And so the Lord gave me the desire to go into the military. At 17, I was able to go in. As soon as I turned 17, I had my mom sign for me, and I went in because that was the only escape that I knew that I was going to be able to do. I had to get out of there. Otherwise, I would have been down a circle in the drain. And so this was a way out for me, and the Lord saved me from that. So you got to be careful. You know, you got to really scrutinize who it is and as you're hanging with them, what's the future going to be like? What's the future with these people? You know, where's this going to lead me? And so, mostly being unsaved, but I knew the Lord. It was just like I knew the Lord from very, very young. You know, I don't know if you can kind of relate, but it's like Growing up, I was raised Catholic, so you know I was always in the church, and I was always enamored with the church and the trappings of the church, and with the Lord, and I read the Bible and stuff like that. To you know why, I don't know, because I was too young to really understand. But you know, as I started to read these things, I could sense that the Lord was, you know, that I knew the Lord, and He knew me, and so He. Going through everything brought me to this place here, and this is the end result. But hanging out with the Lord brought me here, and so as we make friends with people that are in the world, see that they're how should we say it, complementary and not detrimental. So the morsel that thou have eaten, thou shalt vomit up. So you want to be careful of that. So. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Now you know the folks that mock and scorn. You know, those are the kind of people that you really, you know, you just kind of okay, leave them alone. There's a time to be quiet. You know, you know who they are. I mean, you know people like that. Anything and everything. It doesn't matter who you are, whatever it is that you say, they mock and they scorn whatever it is that you believe or somebody else believes, even if it's diametrically opposed one to another. You know, they're going to have a Christian on one side and an atheist on the other, and he'll take issue with either one of them. You know, and it's just kind of like, man, you just, those kind of things, okay, you just kind of, all right, I'll just be quiet before you because, man, you're a fool. You know, you just want to argue, you just want to fight. And so those are the kind of people that you need to live your Christianity before. Those are the ones that they need to see that there's a difference between you and the world. Now, verse 10 is kind of an interesting one. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Now, the old landmarks, back in the days when in Israel, they had the sections of land, the inheritances of the fathers, they were all mapped out. And this is what we're talking about here, about the old or the ancient landmarks. These were not to be moved because the land stayed with that family forever. It never transferred. Now you get some, you know, like with somebody that's, you know, very well to do, and they, you know, their people have managed the property very well, and then you have others that, you know, they didn't have the resources to be able to, you know, get the cows to plow the fields or whatever. People would encroach onto other people's lands. Well, you're not using them. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with the thing that's going on in Oregon, where these guys are taking over that federal building. You probably heard it on the news. Well, it was a catalyst from a few years back when a guy was grazing his cattle on federal lands. And he got caught, and you know, he was sentenced to jail and that kind of thing. And so he figured, well, nobody else is using it, and I might as well use it. But it wasn't his to do. It was federal lands, and again, Bureau of Land Management, hey, okay, we're going to prosecute you and put you in jail. Well, removing the old landmarks was they would take the landmarks and they would move them over and say, well, this is my land, you know. We call it today?
Eminent domain.
Thank you. We want your land. Oh, you don't want to sell it? Well, we'll just take it for the common good, you know. If that's ever happened to you before, you know how heinous that is. But it says here that the Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. And let me tell you, man, you don't want to go up against the Lord. You know, you and the Lord are a majority. It doesn't matter how many people come against you. You and the Lord are a majority. And let Him do the battles, you see. Let Him do the fighting. You don't need to get involved in that. Your job is to have peace, okay? You leave it in the Lord's hands, and He's going to take care of these things. Now, as we get farther into this, into the next psalm, or the next set of Proverbs, we're going to see that the Lord promises that He's going to take care of these kind of things. So, it says in verse 12, He says, apply thine heart unto instruction, and thy ears to the words of knowledge. So there's an application. The heart has a thing to do, okay? You have to apply your heart to instruction. So as you're reading these things need to get hidden in your heart. You need to rehearse them in your heart so that you know not to sin against the Lord. And what does your ears have to do? Your ears have a thing to hear the words of knowledge. Hear the word. You listen to the word. You hear the word. You hear the teaching of the word. And you apply that. And you get the knowledge because it's hidden in your heart and it's able to, oh yeah, that's right, I read this, and this corresponds right with that. And you start building line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and you're building up in the most holy faith. And that's the essence of what a Christian is, building yourself up in the most holy faith. This is what the Lord says to do. This is what the Lord says not to do. I know the difference. That's wisdom. And you apply, when you apply your footsteps to the knowledge that you have, man, you're walking in the ways of righteousness. You're walking in wisdom, as he says here. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now, this is something that was, how should we say it, drummed into me, if I use that term, beaten into me. You know, and I kind of did it to my own kids too. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, what I learned I applied because I knew it was needful. The neat thing about it was is that, you know, Cindy was not the disciplinarian. You know, she was the lover. She was the nurturer. And so that fell to me to do that. And so I always wondered why the kids ran and hide when I came home, because I knew they knew that they were going to get something. And so Jacob, he would just say, okay, Dad, let's get it over with. You know, he's just coming in the door. That's it. But, you know, it.
Although I did spank Jacob every day.
See. And then he said, that didn't hurt.
Every day. this was my verse for a while.
You see, it comes with instructions, and it also comes with an admonition. So, you know, he's not going to die, don't worry. But you should deliver his soul from hell. You know, and I ask my kids sometimes about that. You know, I said, so did you think that I was really mean? And my son Jay, I asked him that. He says, you know what, I needed it. You know, and I'm so glad that you did it. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, that's something you don't hear every day. And I'm just kind of like, wow, that's kind of cool. You know, I mean, so it does have an effect. And I've asked the other kids too, and they said, no, I don't think that you, it was very hard. You know, it was needful. You know, we were bad. We needed to be disciplined, and I'm glad you were there to do that. And so I thought, you know, well, that's cool. So hopefully that, you know, it will deliver their soul from hell. You know, I mean, some of them aren't walking with the Lord. You know, and that's something that, you know, that really grieves a parent when, you know, the kid, you know, you raise up the child in the way they should go, and they're not walking in the ways of the Lord. And, you know, say, but you know what? I relegate them to the Lord. The Lord's got to get a hold of their heart. It wouldn't be good for me to sit there and nag at people. Hey, you need to follow after the Lord. We admonish them to do that. But to sit there and nag them every time that they come in the door, why aren't you following after the Lord? Why aren't you loving Jesus? You know, I mean, it's something that each and every one of us will have to want to do. They have to want it on their own. You know, they're not grandfathered in. Just because I love the Lord doesn't mean any of my kids are going to be accepted because of that. They have to want it on their own. And so even being raised in the church, you know, Franklin Graham, he had his times of being a prodigal. You know, from very little, he grew up. I mean, he was Billy Graham's son. I mean, when you figure somebody's going to be following after the Lord, that would be him. But he went quite the opposite, you know. And for the longest time, he didn't even acknowledge the Lord. And then one day, the Lord got a hold of his heart, and now he's, you know, heading up the Billy Graham, you know, ministries or whatever it is. Quite prominent in the Christian community today. But that's not to say that, you know, yeah. That it was because of Billy Graham that happened, is because the Lord got a hold of his heart personally. It's a personal relationship. We have to remember that. Even this cutie here, he's going to have to come to know the Lord on his own. I can't do it for him. Can't do it any of it for him. But we can pray. As parents, we can pray for our children. And we can, because we see the blessings of following after the Lord. Yeah, there's heartache, there's pain, but there's still the blessing at the end. We get to be with Jesus at the end of this all. We escape the pain of this life, and we get to enjoy Jesus forever and ever and ever. And consequently, he gets to enjoy us too. I mean, it's neat because we are his workmanship, the scripture tells us. And it wasn't until recently that I realized, you know, how much that is. If you've ever, if you create things, if you're a painter or songwriters, You know, you labor over this thing for over and over, and then once it's complete, you just kind of look at it, man. I'm really enjoying this because, man, all of the you know, I remember that I, when I was making this part here, I had to erase that several times and then and rewrite it or redraw it or you know, when I was doing woodworking, man, I really love woodworking because you get to see the finished product and this is good stuff, you know. I mean, it was the hand of the Lord, but I see that the Lord looks at us the same way. You know, we're kind of like made out of, you know, this material, and the Lord is forming us into the image that He would have us to be. You know, that's the neat thing about it. And I just go, wow, yeah. And so He's going to be able to enjoy the thing that He's made forever and ever as well. So, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. And as a parent, you know, that, you know, if your children are walking in a way that's pleasing, and you're just going to be rejoicing. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. How long? All the day long. Because we see the prosperity of the sinners, you know? I mean, but, you know, it's just like, I saw the prosperity of the sinners, and it grieved my heart until I went into the house of the Lord and I saw their end. And then I realized, oh, thank you, Lord, you know, that you have saved me from this. They may enjoy sin for a season, but man, when it comes to forever, nothing beats the Lord Jesus Christ. So, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among the winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man in rags. And we see that, you know, you can see, you go down to the rescue mission, and you can see folks that alcohol has just destroyed them. You know, their families are, you know, torn apart, and that's what, you know, sloth and drunkards do. You know, there's a multiplicity of reasons why people turn to alcohol and drugs. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say that I know the formula of how to, you know, to get people right again, but I know that Jesus Christ can bring people back from the destitute of living on the streets back into, full members of society, you know. But once you start, you know, once you get hooked on that kind of things, it's like it has a hook in your life forever. My dad and my brothers were alcoholics, and you know, they battled the battle every single day, and it was a shame to see, you know, how their minds were jaundiced because of their affliction. You know, they categorized it as a disease. You know, well, you know, that's debatable one way or another. I chose not to even to go there, but you know. Knowing that you have this disease, you tend to stay away from those things that are triggers for you to indulge. And so I just, okay, I'll give you that, you know, whatever. And whatever it takes for you to stay sober, you know. But when you start to see everybody is having your disease, then you're just kind of like, okay, well, you know, maybe you've gone a little too far, you know. If you've ever taken a drink of alcohol, you're an alcoholic. Okay, well. Oh, okay, Dad. Yeah, whatever, you know. But and so if that's how he was able to get through it, great. And he was one of those sponsors, man. He would get calls in the middle of the night, and he helped a multiplicity of people. And I say, that's great, you know. Did he find the Lord? He says he did, you know, and that's great. And you know, so he was a very stoic man when it would come to talking about things with the Lord. So I just have to take him at his word and be done with that. But you know, I have a brother that's still an alcoholic today, but you know, he seems to be doing very well, you know, living in a normal life and you know, that kind of a thing now, so putting that behind him. So he's a believer, and I rejoice for that. And so I'm thinking that, you know, that's how he was able to get over it, because he had Jesus Christ to be able to do that. That's Tim. For the drunken and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Now, this is a very interesting thing, because in the Ten Commandments, he talks about honoring your father and your mother. You got to remember from whence you came. Your lineage comes from your father and your mother. Because of the union of those two, you were brought forth. And to curse father and mother would be to curse yourself. You know, and the Lord takes a pretty dim view of that kind of a thing. You're supposed to honor your father and your mother. You're supposed to take care of them when they're old. They took care of you, but that's how life works. You know, the strong take care of the weak. We don't sit there and you know, relegate them to, you know, halfway houses or, you know, nursing homes and things of that nature. I mean, if you become incapacitated and people are not able to, you know, care for you, but to sit there and relegate somebody to, you know, an old folks home because they're old, doesn't mean they can't be productive. You know, I look at this guy here, this little guy here, and I see, you know, the relationship that my wife has with this little guy, and it's kind of like it would free her up to do the things that she needs to do. But, you know, without her being there, then she'd be all alone. You know, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, parents helping out the children in whatever ways. You know, if the parents have to go out and work, then the grandparents will be there to watch the kids and to grow them up. You know, I mean, what better people to do that? You've got all this experience. Mm-hmm. And what's it going to be? What good is it going to do in an old folks home? None whatsoever, you know. Mm-hmm. And so to honor that, you're going to get so much more benefit from it, you know. First of all, you're going to learn to be tolerant. You're going to learn to love, you know, the unlovely, because, you know, I heard that, you know, grandpas can be a little cantankerous sometimes, and, you know, I don't believe it. It's not happening in our house, but I've heard. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding, those things that are going to last forever, buy it. You know, use all of your resources to get hold of these things. These are important. That's what he's talking about here. Buy the truth. Now, can you buy your salvation? No, you can't. The idea is to, the only commodity that you really have that is worthwhile, and hear me now, is your time. Your time is the only commodity that you have. How are you investing your time? You know, are we binge watching shows on Netflix? I'm not, you know, pointing fingers or, you know, casting aspersions, but think about it. You know, we watch these things on TV and stuff like that. We spend hours on TV. How much are we spending in the Word? How much are we really investing in the kingdom of God? You know, why are we so weak? Well, because we're not investing. We're not taking in those instructions. Well, Sunday and Wednesday night, well, that's, you know, that's fine. That's more than most people. But, hey, what about the other days of the week? Are they important to you? Is this really important? Where you spend your time is, you know, where you're, you know, that's where your heart is. Because that's all you have. And, you know, if you were able to look it out like a sheet, you know, okay, you roll out a timeline. So that you can mark those things out. Okay, this is what I did on this day. This, from, you know, from the time I got up to the time I went to bed, this is what I did. Take stock of all of those things. You know, I spent this much time eating. I spent this much time driving back and forth to work. I went, you know, however, you know. And then you start to look at, well, what's really important? What did you spend most of your time on? Okay, you have to work. I get that. You have to drive to and from work. You have to eat. But what about your leisure time? What about that time between time you got home from work, or, you know, you're just kind of laying around? What was going on in those kind of times? You know, and I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm not trying to lay a trip on you, but this is the commodity, and this is what he's talking about, buying the truth. Your time is all that you have. And as you think about it, you know, I mean, when you're talking about when you buy things on credit, you're buying them on time. I promise that I'm going to pay back this amount with a little bit extra because you were so benevolent to give it to me. They call it usury. Okay? It's fair, you know, not among believers, but it's fair in the world that, okay, I'm going to charge you 29.2% interest for every month that you hold on to my money. So that's time. So you have to go out and you have to work that overtime. That's why they call it overtime, because this is the time that I'm normally working, but now I'm overtime so that I can pay off the 29.9% on my credit card. Okay. Yeah, that works. It's pretty good. buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Now as your children look at you, what do they see you doing? What are they emulating from you? You see, it's very important to do these things in front of your children, because your children are watching you, whether you know it or not. There's, you know, if you don't have children, then mark my words, but you do have children, they're going to be watching you. This guy, he's watching everything. He's watching. And the adage in our house these days, don't make eye contact. You know, otherwise, we're going to have to go pick him up. You know, but you know, he wants to see, okay, I'm going to, I say, oh, make me eye contact. You know, come on, pick me up. You know, spend time with me. You know, and so. Grandma does that all the time. Yeah. I can't get a word in edgeway sometimes. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. You know how many times I've practiced that? Because that's, you know. You really messed that one up. So, I got it. That was cool. So, but it's interesting how, you know, the world, I mean, is so sexually oriented. You know, I mean, you can't watch TV without seeing some, I mean, so you're just kind of like, okay, all right, let me know when that's done. Or change the channel, because I just can't take this anymore. I mean, they're really doing it out there. I mean, it's and you just kind of get, you know, it's like so in your face. But this is what the Lord is warning us against. You know, when you desire these things, when these things come into your mind, even though they're being forced into your living room or wherever it is that you're at, it's in your mind now, and this is the things that you're going to be desiring. And that's why there's so much problems in the world today, because, you know, people can't be faithful because they have all of these different images in their head. You know, you have your movies and your TV, but then, you know, it leads to pornography, or it leads to illicit sex and things, and you just kind of go, how did I get here? Well, it's telling you right here, it's a deep ditch. Once you enter into it, you can't get out of it, or it's very difficult to get out of it. The only thing that can get you out of it is the word of the Lord, is a commitment to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we, you know, people that are falling into this trap, they need to reach the bottom of this ditch for the Lord to pull them out. Okay, are you ready? Are you done wallowing in this? Like the prodigal son, he was wallowing in the slime of the pig pen. I mean, nothing. There's no place where a Jewish boy should be, and yet the Lord reached down and pulled him out. He came to himself, and he says, "Man, I'm going to return to my father's house." And that's what there is an escape for all of these things. But here is the admonition to stay away from these things. She also lies in wait as for prey and increaseth the transgressors among men. This is what her purpose is. She lies in wait, just like a lion will lay still until the prey is close by, and then they'll pounce. You know, that's what the enemy has these women out there for. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they shall go and seek mixed drink. Mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when its color giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. The eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Now, if you've ever had a little bit too much champagne at a wedding, or you've had maybe too many bubblies or what have you, you know what we're talking about here. You know, I mean, it just like it makes your head spin. You lose all manner of reason, and you start to see all kinds of things, man. You know, so I don't want to. I have many of jokes that I could put out there, but I'm not going to do that. So preserve the sanctity of the moment here. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth on the top of a mast. And I tell you what, when you're that wasted, where you, when you start laying down and the room is starting to spin, you know that you're done for, you know. And it, and I think about that. You know, I've seen ships tossed in a, like, I'm a real big fan of tall ships, you know, the ones with the big sails and stuff like that. We went to Saginaw and saw some. And when I looked up there, I looked at the crow's nest, which is way on the topmost sail, and the lookout up there is supposed to spot any kind of rough seas or stuff like that. But, you know, as they're out in that sea, you know, the ship is rocking like this, but that mast is going like this, and you're just kind of like, how do these guys hold on? Well, come to find out that they have these straps that they wear, and they're tied right to the mast, so that they're not going to get flung off. But man, you try to, you can't sleep up there. There's just no way, you know. And same as when you've had too much to drink, you're just not going to be able to sleep. And what's going to happen? Well, they have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? These are the questions that you ask yourself the next morning. Oh, man, I feel like a truck hit me. I feel like, man, I've been run over by, you know, a train or something like that. And then, wow, get a little hair of the dog, man. That's what I need. Yeah, that'll fix me right up. I will seek it yet again. You know, I mean, it's right there. I mean, we talk about it, and we, you know, it is, and it's, we, in our youth, we joke about it. We say, you know, okay, yeah, maybe if I, you know, a little hair of the dog, and, you know, I'll be okay. You know, fix me right up. You know? So, and staying away from the things, I mean, the warnings, the instructions are here, and that's what we really need to do. We need to pay heed to these things. Now, you know, coming from that background, it's I think this is more of a warning to the young people. You know, the young people that have never really imbibed in these kind of things. You know, the young teens, you know, even, because they're experimenting with that stuff these days. Probably in elementary school nowadays. I've, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in school. But this is good instruction for them not to get involved in that kind of stuff. Here is the warning. And when these things, when somebody passes them the bottle in the bathrooms or something like that, here, try some of this. And you say, man, well, wait a minute. You know, the Bible says to stay away from these things. These are warnings. And so as we, you know, as we go over these things, you know, parents, pray these things into your children. You know, pray that they will have the wherewithal to turn these things down, whether it's opiates or if it's, you know, that wacky tobacco or whatever it is, you know. These are things that are going to lead them away from the Lord. You know, I am fascinated that, you know, when you pass these party stores, they have on the side there spirits. You know, and I've seen it for years, and then all of a sudden, as I was reading this, you know, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit." And you just kind of like, so there's a different spirit out there that they're being, you know, that they're being filled with. That's an interesting contrast, you know, the spirit of the world versus the spirit of Christ. You just kind of go, wow, yeah, I see how that is now. And, you know, as a pastor, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, you just don't imbibe in those things. You know, I stay away from those things purposely. I mean, not that I've been tempted with them, but, you know, I know that I shouldn't do those things because I'm filled with a different spirit. The spirit of the living God. And I don't want anything coming in between that. Because once you start down that road, you know, it's like, well, I can drink if I want. Well, sure, I can drink. I can drink all that I want. There's, you know, there's no rule that says I can't drink all that I want. And I am. I'm drinking all that I want. This is the stuff that I like to drink. I choose not to drink alcohol. Because I don't want to, you know, first of all, I don't want to stumble anybody should they happen to see me. It's a funny story. Cindy likes to make vanilla. Well, the main ingredient in vanilla is, well, vanilla beans, and the other ingredient is vodka. And she just felt weird going to the store and buying a bottle of vodka. Can you imagine? You know, going to Meyer's there, going into the liquor department and pulling down a big bottle of Smirnoff's there and got it on the counter, and somebody comes in, Lisa comes in and says, how? Well.
I wouldn't even believe
how,
it was you.
How are you? Things okay at home.
Right. It's really stressful.
So I told her, all right, well, I'll bite the bullet. I'll go get you some vodka, you know, because she wanted to make these. She got the beans. I forget who brought you the beans. Somebody brought you some beans from Mexico.
Well, no, I ordered them.
You ordered, oh, she ordered a phone. Okay. And so, well, we went, so there's a liquor store right down the street. So we went to the liquor store there, you know, and we're going through there, and, you know, it felt like, you know, just kind of like uneasy, you know, with all these spirits here. And then, and so we had to go up to the counter, you know, and I says, well, top shelf stuff, you know, we had to get the good stuff, otherwise the vanilla would be bad, you know. And so we buy it and put it in a brown paper bag, and so I just kind of hit it in my coat as we walked out of the store. It's just a funny story. You had to be there, I guess. But now our grandkids, every time they pass a liquor display, or if they're in Red Robin or something, they'll go and take a picture of all the alcohol on the bar there and send it to Cindy there. So we were thinking about your grandma. And so it's just kind of,
It's a much better legacy to leave than, you know, your grandkids remembering you guys being drunk all the time or whatever.
Right.
You know, they're joking because she doesn't even want to be seen buying it.
Right.
Like that's huge.
Well, yeah. What happened was the several Christmases ago.
I didn't say it right.
Several Christmases ago, I had said that. I'd wanted to make it, but I wouldn't go buy it. And so my son Tim and his wife bought me a bottle of vanilla beans, and then they also bought me a bottle vodka to go with it, and so the grandkids were there when I opened it, and so, you know, it's like, then you have to explain, you know, I don't drink, and they know I don't drink, they just like to give me a hard time.
They bought her a giant bottle opener this Christmas.
Well, we're about to get in on that joke, too.
They saw a big bottle, of, like a champagne bottle, like one of those decorative giant champagne bottles, they snapped a picture and said, here's for you, Grandma.
Jeez. Yeah. What about those giant flasks? So, you know, you can go all kinds of ways, but you're right. What a legacy it is that, you know, it would be so unlike her to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that would be so foreign to their thinking, you know.
Because the same as what you said about, you know, your kids emulate everything that you do, but it's really, like, pretty much all adults in their lives, you know. If they have, every adult in their life is drinking all the time, or anytime there's a party or whatever, they see these people drinking, they're going to do it. It doesn't matter. And they're going to start doing it at a young age.
Mm-hmm. And you see it more and more on TV. You see it more and more. This is how we relax. This is how we have fun. And, you know. So. All right. Anybody? I've laid my soul bare. Come on. Well, hers. I laid her soul bare. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the gathering that we're able to share with one another, and just like grow in the grace and the mercy that you just pour out to us. We do pray, Father, that as we study your word, that it would have its effect upon us, and that we would allow you to just work in our lives and clear away those things that are unpleasing. As we are your workmanship, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would just chip away those things that are not pleasing, so that, Lord, we will become that finished work that you will be able to enjoy forever and ever. As we enjoy you, you will enjoy us. So have your way with us. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.